Anyway, so let's get started.
好，我们现在开始。
Naming our sins to God the Father is what helps us maintain our spiritual life.
我们一开始先要向上帝告罪。
You have to realize that this is a very important process because by naming our sins, we're forgiven of our sins and we're cleansed of all unrighteousness.
这是一个非常非常重要的一个程序，就是要向主认罪。
Because it's the only way in Scripture that tells us, it's the only way that we can be forgiven of our sins and cleansed of our sins.
因为只有在我们的根据我们的圣经所说哈，只有这个方式好可以让我们能够清洗我们的罪。
There is no other way.
没有其他的方法。
And the solution is simple. You just name your sins to God the Father, and He does that. He does forgive you. He does cleanse you.
而我们呢，这个方法非常的简单，就是你跟天父认罪之后，他就帮你清洗了。
Okay, and it sounds very simple, but for some reason, people seem to like to make it difficult.
其实听起来这么简单一件事情，但是不知道为什么，人就是喜欢把它弄得好像很困难。
You know, they think they need to add to that procedure of just naming your sins. They think they need to add something to it.
很多人会认为他在认罪的时候要加一些东西，然后才能够有效。
They think they have to feel sorry for their sins first.
有些人会以为我们应该要先觉得自己是很对不起，犯了这个错。
Well, they think they have to show some emotion, they have to be crying and pleading for mercy to God.
然后有些人会觉得说，哦，他应该要很难过，自己犯了罪，所以会哭泣，然后要请求神的原谅。
There's the Catholic religion, for example. They tell you to name your sins, you have to go to the priest and name your sins. That's adding a lot.
然后呢，在天主教呢，甚至认为你要去认罪的时候，你是必须到神父面前。
But even for Protestants, some people think they don't feel cleansed of their sins unless they go and confess their sins to people as well.
就是清教徒呢，他们甚至认为说，如果他要去认罪，他必须要告诉一些人，他必须要对一些人告解。如果他没有对人告解的话，他好像就没有办法真正清掉自己的罪。
Well, some people think you have to show in some way that you feel very sorry for your sins by doing some good works.
那甚至有些人他必须要做一些什么好像很好的好事才能够弥补自己曾经犯过的罪。
Some people even think if they've done a bad sin that they might have lost their salvation.
那有些人认为他因为他做错了一些事情，所以他就会失去他的救赎。
And to regain their salvation, they need to go to the front of a church and to make a statement, I am a Christian again.
然后甚至以为他要在教堂的前面去说我认了这个罪，然后所以我才又成为一个基督徒。
And the pastor says, "Welcome back to the flock, brother."
然后
，Welcome back to the flock, like the flock of sheep. Right, so welcome back to our church. Welcome back to your family.
然后让这个牧师或神父说啊，欢迎你回到我们的这条船上。
Okay, so let's baptize you in water again.
然后我们甚至要。把你再重新受洗礼一次。
I'm sure these things do happen, but a lot of people add to the rebound process.
就是这些听起来就是我举了很多很多例子，好像是我在等于是把一些例子好像特别夸张的讲，但事实上很多人就是这样。好，这个是这样的，在所谓的这个反弹认罪的过程中加了很多料。
Yeah, we just keep it simple. We name our sins to God the Father.
但我们就是其实要让它简单，就是我们告诉天父我们做错了什么。
Let's do that now.
我们现在开始。
Father, sir, we give thanks to you for the time that we have to study your word.
感谢天父给我们时间，让我们能够学习你的话语。
We pray that as we do focus on the message, that the Holy Spirit will teach us the things that we need to know.
请让我们在祷告中，让我们能够在接下来的学习非常的专注，而且圣灵会教导我们怎么样来认真的理解的学习。
May you give us wisdom as we teach and translate these lessons.
那也请给我们智慧，让我们能够很好的教导以及翻译。
in order that we can add these things to our spiritual life.
而让我们呢，在学习中能够加入我们的灵性生活。
We give thanks for these things in Christ's name.
我们祷告是奉靠主耶稣的名。
Amen.
Amen.
Now, learning about the spiritual life, learning, but this is Bible doctrine, so learning Bible doctrine is like any other academic process.
在学习所有的这个圣经的过程，就跟学习其他的东西一样，它是有一个程序的。
There needs to be a constant process of review, looking back over what you've done, and then advancing forward.
我们必须像所有的学习一样，就是常常要回去温习一下之前学的。
What you have forgotten is of no use to you. So you can learn information, but if you forget the information, it's no use.
如果说我们一直学了，但是却又忘记了，那这个学习就变成没有用了。
You know, the information we get from the Bible can be very sophisticated and very complex.
而在圣经里面所教导的这些讯息，其实是蛮复杂的。
Yeah, it's only 66 books of a Bible, but we need to spend a lifetime of learning the deep things that are hidden inside these scriptures.
虽然呢只有66部书，这66部却有非常非常多的内容是在它底层的。
And you need to build these things up in a proper process. So usually we start with the fundamentals, that's the gospel message and basic doctrines, and then we work upon those, upon our base.
好，那所以呢，我们必须一层一层的学，从福音开始到比较基础的这些教义。
And it's a process that takes a very, very long time, so of course we have to be patient.
而这个过程其实要花很多时间，所以我们一定要有耐心。
And part of that means that you have to keep reviewing so that you're not forgetting stuff.
而且在这个过程中还要一直回头复习，所以我们不会忘记。
A lot of people don't like to review because it's boring. It's like, well, I did this, I studied this already. When are we going to learn something new?
很多人是其实是没那个耐心做所谓的复习，因为大家都一直期待说啊，我什么时候可以学到更新的东西。
But we're in a spiritual battle.
但是我们是在灵性的一个战场上。
And what that means is that sometimes you get into a position where there's a lot of pressure, there's a lot of stress on you.
You mean life?
Yeah, in life, yeah.
而在我们的生活上却有非常多的这个压力在我们的压在我们的身上。
Now, if you've ever seen soldiers practicing, for example, how to fix a weapon, they might have a gun, and they can spend months training and practicing, and they always have to review how to disassemble a rifle. You know, the rifle is your key weapon.
Mm-hmm.
How to disassemble a rifle and then put it back together again.
而就其实呢，这个战场就好像是一个这个军人，他在上战场之前，他必须要一直学习很多基本的训练。就好像把一个来福枪要把它怎么样拆解然后再把它装合起来。
Because what might happen in the thick of a battle when you're actually having to use your weapon is the gun can jam and you need to disassemble it, fix the problem, put it back together and then shoot the weapon.
但是因为呢为什么要一直学习又组装又拆开又组装又拆开是因为我们很可能在战场上碰到了我们的枪来福枪卡住了。那个时候你就必须要在很短时间内把它给拆解了把它修好了再把它装回来。
It's very easy to do that, like when you might see a soldier practicing and if they could take it apart and they can put it back together under normal circumstances.
在一般的时候呢 也许在所有的这个一个军人一个兵他是可以把这些东西很正常的就把它打开又合起来。
But imagine if it's at night time.
但是如果是在晚上没有光呢
and you've got bombs going off and bullets flying over your head
那你旁边就是有炸弹又有子弹飞过的状态下呢
and people are dying around you
而且还有旁边的人都死了
maybe you even got shot a couple of times
而且你身上搞不好已经中了好几枪
and the enemy is charging towards you
然后所有的那些敌人呢就在往你这边来了
that's where your instinct or your natural reflexes from all that training needs to come
所以这个时候你变成要经由你的所谓的直觉反应就是你在过去的这个训练中的所有的直觉去做这件事
Now, Last week we had the passage from James chapter 1 verse 2 where we are commanded to consider the tests and pressures of life as happiness
好，我们上一次的课里面提到雅歌书第一章第二节，就是我们是有接到神的命令，我们必须保持喜乐。
What that means is that when you have a test come upon you, and it could be something of great tragedy in your life.
因为你可能有一个很大的试炼在你身上，那这个试炼很可能就是一个悲剧，很悲惨的状态。
Or it could be a great injustice. Maybe somebody has been unfaithful to you, or somebody has been stealing money from you.
但也有可能是一个非常不公平的一个状态，有人就是对你不忠实，或者是偷了你的钱。
This can happen on a personal level, or it can happen on what we call systems testing. It can be the government. Yeah, governments like to steal money from people as well.
这些问题有可能是比较属于个人性的状态，或者是甚至可能是一个国家的系统。政府的一个系统的状况，对不起你。
So you have to be prepared mentally how to deal, or mentally and spiritually how to deal with these pressures and maintain your happiness at the same time.
但是呢，你要必须能够在心理上，甚至灵性上，都能够保持你原来的快乐。
And this takes years of practice and repetition of learning and practicing, training with the things that you've learned.
这是需要你的用你一生去学习，不断的学习，而且重复的学习，然后在生活的各种试炼中学习。
Now, we're commanded to be happy under all circumstances.
而我们是被命令要无论在任何状况中都必须要非常快乐。
And to give thanks to God under all circumstances.
而且在各种情况下我们都要对神表示我们的感谢。
Now we had a new student here last week, and they were asking after I was teaching about this, and they said, how can you do that? How can you be happy when there's all of these adverse things going on around you, when all of these problems are happening?
前两天的课里面有一个新的同学来，好，他就说怎么可能呢，我怎么可能在这么多恐怖的这个状态中还能够保持快乐，这要怎么做呢？
There's no magic solution.
这是不可能有一个所谓神奇的解决方案。
You can't just open a passage of the Bible, maybe read a verse in the Bible and say, okay, that's how I can be happy.
你不可能是打开圣经然后在那边读了这个经句，然后还画了线，然后从此你就可以一直保持快乐。
Now, one of the solutions that we have, and we have a book called that, which is called The Faith Rest Life. It teaches you how you apply the Word of God to your circumstances.
而最重要的一个解决方法呢，这是我们要练习的呢，我们有一本书要请等一下大家可以带回去，就是信靠与安息的生命。的生活。
Okay. Some people might call it walking by faith.
好，有一些人把这个称之为 walking.
Yeah.
就是你靠着信心而向前行。
Okay, and remember, like Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of God.
罗马书第十章十七节告诉我们，我们的信心是从哪里来的
？And that is it comes from the teaching of Jesus Christ.
那是从耶稣基督在教导而来的。
And of course we have the teaching of Jesus and we have the mind of Christ.
我们因为我们有耶稣基督对我们的教导，还有我们有耶稣基督他的思维。
Okay, and I'll talk a little bit about this later in the class, but we're expected to take on the thinking of Jesus Christ, to put his thinking into our thinking.
好，因为我们呢要学习耶稣的思维方式，用他的思维方法当作我们的思维方法。
And that's how we develop faith.
这就是我们建立我们的信心的方式。
Okay, so again, faith comes from the word of God. It comes from learning Bible doctrine.
所以呢，真正的信心是来自于学习上帝的话语，是来自学习圣经的教义。
And then with humility and with the right motivation, applying these things that you've learned to your situation.
然后呢，再加上我们用谦卑的态度，还有对的动机，然后我们就有机会把我们所学的圣经的话语变成，就神的话语变成是我们生活中的一个方法。
And I say with humility, because if you're arrogant, you're not going to be thinking about what God wants you to do, you're just thinking about yourself and what you want to do.
为什么说要有这个谦卑呢？因为如果你是很傲慢的话，你就不会想到神要你怎么做，你只会想到你自己想要干嘛，你要得到什么。
Okay, and in that case, you might respond to your test or your situation with anger or with bitterness, with fear, for example.
好，那如果是这样的话，你只傲慢的想着自己的时候，你就会变成，当你在面对一个试探或者是一个考验的时候，你只会容易生气，然后你会觉得很悲惨等等的所有的负面状态。
Instead of responding with grace or responding with love to your fellow beings, your fellow humans.
而反而没有用一个感谢、感恩跟对爱的那些情绪 来反映在这些试炼上。
But walking by faith is just one part of maintaining happiness under pressure, under testing.
它只是呢要 一个让你可以保持喜乐、快乐的一种一个部分的方法，还不是全部。
Now for those that have been with us for a while, they'll be very familiar with the 10 problem-solving devices.
如果已经跟我们上课一阵子的同学都会了解，就是我们有十个解决问题的方法。
Okay, and this is a system of understanding God's word.
这是一个了解神的话语的一个方法。
And the faith rest drill, or some, as some people call it, walking by faith, the faith rest drill is problem solving device number three.
而所谓依靠的这个信心而行，是解决问题的十个方法中的第三个。
And again, if you're familiar with the doctrine, I can say FRD, that's the faith rest drill. You learn how, with practice, to apply faith to your situation, to apply the word of God to your situation.
就是如果你用这个 faith, 就是信心，就信靠 rest.就是安息的这个练习哈，用这样的一个操练哈，就是信靠安息的操练的话。
But this is just one of 10 problem solving devices that you
have. 你可以就可能会让你可以有办法去知道要怎么样用圣经的智慧来解决问题，但这只是十个解决问题中的一个。
When we began class today, we began by naming our sins to God the Father, or what we call rebound.
而我们讲的所谓反弹，就是我们课程每一次开始就会先做的对神认罪这个反弹。
And the kernel, that's RB theme system of teaching, that would be problem solving device number one.
这个反弹呢是我们的这个上校牧师，就是整套理论的这个发起者，他所谓的解决问题十个方法的第一个就是叫反弹。
Okay, and we talk about maintaining our happiness.One of the ways that we can also maintain happiness under great stress is by having the happiness of God in our thinking.
好，那所谓的保持快乐这个概念呢，其实是要让神的
So God's happiness
把神他的喜乐摆在我们的头脑里。
And that comes under problem solving device number eight. That's sharing the happiness of God.
这是我们的解决问题的第八个方法，就是用什么方法呢？就是让神的喜乐跟我们一起分享，就我们分享神的喜乐。
See, God is never unhappy.
因为神从来不会不喜乐。
In the last week or so, I taught anthropopathisms, which is sometimes you see in the Bible how it says God is angry or God regretted something.
但是因为在我们过去在看圣经的时候，有时候你会看我们人把上帝拟人化了，所以认为神是会生气，会快乐。
Okay, these are called anthropopathisms.
这个字就是所谓拟人化的去看待上帝。
But these are just to remind us or to teach us about the will of God. So what God is thinking in regards to what the people are doing.
就是这其实是让我们去试着了解上帝他是有他的意志的。
it says in scripture God was angry at Jonah, for example.
比如说在圣经里面讲到神对约拿不开心。
Well, he wasn't really angry at him, but Jonah was outside of the will of God, so God had to do something about that.
而只是因为约拿在神的意志之外做了不合神意志的事，所以神要做要纠正他，他必须要做一些神要做的事。
Okay, but God is never unhappy.
但其实他并不是神不开心，因为他神是不会不开心的。
He's got perfect thinking.
他绝对不会不开心，因为他有完美的思维。
The reason that people get unhappy and get even miserable to the point of suicide is because they're thinking incorrectly.
有一些人类会不开心，是因为他们常常在想一些事情，是想了一个错的一个方式。
And that's a sign to you. If you have any mental attitude sin, if there's some kind of a frustration or some kind of anger or bitterness, you're not thinking properly.
如果在你的头脑里、心理上面有一些想法是非常负面的，那基本上就是或者你觉得非常受压迫的哈，那很忧虑的等等，这都是因为我们想的方式是不对的。
Even regret, some people they spend years regretting about something they did wrong long time ago. And we all make big mistakes in our life, but you cannot dwell on that.
甚至呢，人常常会对过去所做的事情很后悔，但是后悔这件事情是根本没有意义的。
And then they make the excuse, well, if I don't think about that, then I'll forget about it and I'll make the same mistake again.
有一些人会给自己一个理由说，哦，我如果不一直去回想过去我很做错的事情的话，我可能会忘记了又去做同样的错事。
Rather than focusing on what's ahead of them.
而反而不是去好好的面对未来将要发生的事情。
And actually, that's another one of the problem-solving devices. I think it's number 6. It's called the personal sense of destiny. So you're very aware of your future. Personal sense of destiny.
Sense,
like
yes.
a knowledge.
那这个呢，其实就是所谓的解决问题的方法的第六个哈，它就是说你个人对于未来的一个认知。就是你对于你的命运的认知。
And the only way we can know that is from studying scripture.
而怎么样我们可以对未来的命运有所认知，是从读圣经而来。
Over the last couple of weeks, we've been studying quite deeply about the rapture and about the events of the future, about the evaluation throne for us in heaven, for example.
好，我们这两个礼拜呢，花了很多时间在研读未来我们教会被提，还有我们在被提之后在天堂被所谓的评估好的这些事情，就是圣经教会的未来学。
Okay, and these things are all adding to our personal sense of destiny, meaning your knowledge of what is in store for you, what's in your future.
这些呢都会让我们增加对于我们未来命运的认知，有更多的资讯让我们理解未来会发生什么事。
And what that's actually doing, while we're learning these things, it makes us realize how insignificant, I mean how small some of these little distractions we have in life. You know, we have big things ahead of us.
所以在学习这些时候，让我们才突然了解，原来现在所发生的这些事情真的是太微不足道了，跟未来那个伟大的一些事件来比，这些小事不如意是真的不需要太在意的。
And that's a sense of happiness for us.
这就是让我们快乐的一个方法呀。
Yeah, knowing that regardless of what your failures were in the past and that you will have failures in the future, but knowing that you have a plan and that you have a great future ahead of you.
就算我们知道我们过去有些什么样的失败，甚至在未来也可能有一些失败，但是我们都知道真正的伟大的计划在前面将要发生的是什么。
Okay, so anyway, at some stage we will do another review of the 10 problem solving devices.
好，我们之后一定还会再找机会来重新复习这个十个解决问题的方法。
But the way they were designed is basically to provide from scriptureA solution to every problem that you have in life.
重点是什么呢？我们要了解这本圣经，它真的提供了我们所有生命中、生活中会碰到的问题的解决方法。
God has provided a solution for every problem you have.
因为神真的给了我们所有可 可以解决问题的方法在我们的生命中。
But the only way you're going to find out what the solution is by going to the word and having it described in a way we can understand.
重点就是我们要能够回到圣经里面去找到，而且甚至去理解这些事情到底发生在我们身上的时候该怎么解决。
Okay. And for me and for other people, these 10 problem-solving devices is for me by far the best way to understand how we can solve our problems.
好，来自天父的这十个解决问题的方法，对很多人，尤其说 Tim 他来讲，他说真的是非常非常有效的，让他解决所有的生命中的问题。
Now getting on to the next part of the meeting, there's something I want to address, and this is about the difference in meaning between two words we had last week, typology and prototype.
好，现在他想要再解释两个字，是我们之前有提到的。
Well, I'll have to explain them, but...
好，他会解释，一个是 typology, 一个是所谓的 prototype, 就是 prototype 是原型。Typology 就是把事情分成几个类型。
Okay.
那 prototype 就是一个事情的原型，它的最开始的那个完整的模型。
I'll explain these so you can see the meaning clearly. A typology is where you have a person, it can be a person or it can be an event, which is used to teach about a future event that's going to happen, to reveal even about a future event. Now we're talking about biblical typology.For example, in the Garden of Eden, we had the lamb being sacrificed. That lamb is a type or typology of Jesus Christ on the cross.
这个所谓的类型学，或者说是叫类比学，其实是在讲过去曾经发生的一个事，或者是某一个人，他的一个形象，或者那个事件的状态，你可以拿来去预表未来的一些人和事，就好像在这个伊甸园里面，神提醒到我们说会有羔羊，好的献祭。那其实他在提的呢，就是要类之后呢，他就是要类比未来的耶稣他的角色。
The Old Testament is completely packed full of dozens and dozens, maybe even hundreds of typologies relating to.Jesus Christ and relating to our future in heaven, many kinds of concepts.
而在旧约的这整部书里面有上千种的这种类比形态的预表，来讲未来耶稣他来的时候的状态，以及甚至在预表天堂的状态。
Now, I mentioned the lamb in the garden, but also as another main typology that we study about often is the sacrifice of Isaac by Abraham.
好，还有呢，除了刚刚讲到伊甸园的这个羊跟耶稣的这个未来的耶稣的这个类比之外呢，还有一个比如说就是亚伯拉罕要把他的儿子要去献祭的这个故事。
Now, this is the father offering his son up as a sacrifice, Abraham offering Isaac.
这就是等于父亲要把他的儿子献祭的这件事。
Isaac was the willing son.
这个儿子呢，就是在预表的是那个顺服的儿子。
Now, in that situation, God actually provided another sacrifice, so Abraham did not have to kill Isaac.
而当然，在真实的状况，后来最后亚伯拉罕不需要把他儿子真的献祭了，因为出现了一只羊。
But if you go over to the book of Hebrews, I think it's in chapter 11.Verse 17, it will tell us that Abraham was looking to the resurrection. He understood about resurrection, and he trusted God that if he'd killed Isaac, Isaac would come back to life.
好，在希伯来书里面其实十一章十七节里面，他有提到，其实这个亚伯拉罕他为什么愿意将他的儿子献祭？其实有一个很重要的一个。概念是他其实是相信神的，他相信神是会提供复活的这个概念，所以他才有这样的信心去将他的儿子献给神。
This is why God really honored Abraham, and Abraham is one of the greatest believers in history.
这也就是为什么神这么的喜爱亚伯拉罕，因为亚伯拉罕在这个是整个历史上大概最伟大的一个信徒之一。
Abraham was the first person in history that God had found. Who was willing to offer up his own son as a sacrifice.
而在历史上很明显的，亚伯拉罕是第一个被神找到，是愿意完全的信靠神，而且信靠到他可以将他的儿子献祭。
And when Abraham did that, he knew that God could raise his son up from the dead.
而当亚伯拉罕这样做的时候，是因为他非常非常确信神是可以将他的儿子再复活的。
Remember when Abraham went up the mountain, they were going up Mount Moriah there, and he said to the servants at the bottom, he said, wait here, and we will come back.
好，因为呢，圣经里面讲得很清楚，当亚伯拉罕要上山之前，他跟他的仆人说，在这边等着。我们会回来。
Knowing that he would kill his son at the top of the mountain.
所以他，而且他讲这句话的时候，他已经知道他自己要准备把他的儿子杀了，在山顶上。
Okay, so that's just another example of what we call a typology or a type.
好，这个呢，我们就把它称之为一种类比学。
There's many more concepts about this, but we're talking about typology.
好，所以我可以举很多这种例子，那这些都是代表的所谓的预表的预表学。
And these things we use to teach.
这也是我们用来教学的内容。
Now, these typologies I'm talking about is different from this word prototype.
但是呢，预表学呢，预表的方式跟所谓的原型，这就是完全不一样的概念。
Prototype is a word used normally in manufacturing, for example. You might have something like a car or an aeroplane, and they'll produce one and then they'll test that.
好，所谓的原型呢，其实在我们做大型的这些机器，比如说飞机啦，或一个机器上面，就是第一个把它设计做起来，作为一个原型，是第一个原型，就第一个把它做出来，完整的做出来的那个，就称之为原型。
So they'll test that prototype and they'll make changes as much as they need.
然后呢，这个原型做完了以后呢，他们就可以去测试，然后甚至看有没有需要修改。
And ultimately, they should end up with the perfect product that they can now put on the market.
然后当他把这个原型最终呢做成一个他们认为很完美的呢，就会变成后来可以复制成为市场上的产品。
Now, when Jesus Christ was our prototype, you know, he is the only one, and it's not like God had to make lots of different Jesus Christs.
而耶稣基督呢，是所谓是我们的期待看到的一个完美的原型。而上帝在做耶稣基督的时候，他是只做了一个就是完美的了哈，不是说像做了好多个，终于做成一个完美的，不是的。
God is the perfect architect, the perfect designer, so yeah, he's going to create the perfect plan for Jesus Christ.
而因为呢，上帝我们的天父，他是一个完美的创造者。所以他其实是完美的创造了耶稣基督，也同时为他设计了一个完美的计划。
Now when Jesus Christ in his humanity was born into the world from the Virgin Mary and the Holy Spirit, he was perfect.
而耶稣基督呢，他是经由圣灵与玛利亚的一个基因的结合。
He was without the sin nature.
而因此他没有任何人类原有的罪性。
And because he was without a human father, it also means he did not have Adam's original sin imputed to him.
而且因为呢，他没有所谓人类的父亲的基因，所以他也就不会有所谓亚当的原罪在他身上。
Okay, so in this way, he was born perfect.
所以他生下来就是完美的。
But then Jesus Christ still had to learn Bible doctrine.
但是耶稣基督还是一样要学上帝的圣经的教义。
Right from a very young age.
当他还很年轻的时候，他就开始学了。
Mary and Joseph would have been teaching him Bible doctrine.
就是他的母亲玛利亚跟约瑟就教他这些圣经的教义。
Just as every good Jewish parent should be teaching their children.
就像所有的犹太父母一样，他们都会教导他们的孩子。
And just as every good Christian parent, they should be teaching their children from the time that their children are born, really. They should be giving them concepts and words, just even simple words that would help them understand God's plan.
就像一个好的基督徒父母，他们也一样会教，从很小的时候就要教导孩子，甚至从很简单的圣经的字语。 就让他们熟悉圣经的话语。
And then as Jesus grew older, Joseph and Mary would have found the best Bible teachers, which God would have provided for them to study the word of God.
而当耶稣逐渐长大了，玛利亚跟他跟约瑟，他们也会去找好的圣经老师来教他的孩子。
Yeah, Jesus in his humanity was not born omniscient, so he didn't know those things from birth. He had to learn them.
因为耶稣他身为一个人，作为一个人，他其实是不再像神一样，在他小时候是全知的，他没有就没有全知的能力。
Yeah, now don't get confused. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 10, I think it's verse 5, which gives a quote that Jesus said from the manger.As soon as he was born into the world, he was saying, God, I've come to do your plan. But this is from his deity. He's not speaking from his humanity, he's speaking from his deity. So, he said, God, I have come to the earth to do your will. And you've given me a body to do your will.
在那个希伯来书里面的第十章四跟五节有提到一句话，我们不要被混淆了。他说因为他说耶稣一生下来，他就说一句话，他说上帝啊，好，我已经我带着人的身体来要完成你的使命，但是这个他说是来自于一个他的圣灵的思维，并不是他真的说出来。
But in his humanity, he had to learn the word of God.
就是说那个不是来自他的人性的这一块，人就会有的，那是他来神格带来的，必须要学习。对于作为一个人来讲，他必须要所有要经由学习。
Sorry, okay, we're out of time at the moment. So what we do, we'll close up the Zoom, and then we'll have a 10-minute break, and then we'll come back.
好，我们休息十分钟，等一下请大家重新上 Zoom.
Okay, thank you.